Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, worship team. Well, I wanted to finish up. We're finishing up our series on prayer this morning, and I really hope that God has used it in your life over the last few weeks as we've gone through this. And our theme verse for really the whole series is Ephesians 6:18 that says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kind of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." And I love just how Paul says, you know, to pray on all, you know, on all occasions, in every situation. And then he says, use every kind of prayer and request there is. And, you know, and you might say, well, Monty, I didn't know there were so many different kinds of prayer. And they are. And so in this series, I just wanted to show you prayers in the Bible and look at different ways that people prayed. And so we did that. We started off several weeks ago. We talked about my prayer for you, Monty's prayer, right out of the book of Ephesians. Just my prayer that I pray for you before God each and every week, just praying that for you. And then the next week, Coach Mays led us in the, you know, praying in the Spirit and how we have to allow the Spirit to move in us and through us as we pray and seek His guidance. And then I prayed one of my favorite prayers I preached one of my favorite prayers in the Old Testament, the prayer of Jabez. And just like Jabez, I said, you know, we all need, you know, blessing and influence and His presence and His protection. And then last week, Joe led us in the prayer of Jehoshaphat. Didn't he do a great job with that Old Testament prayer? Yeah, thank you, Joe, so much for that. So this week I thought, well, you know, I can't end this series without maybe speaking about Jesus's prayer, right? And more familiar with us, it's the Lord's Prayer, right? Because I understand that prayer is just a conversation with God, as Kathy said, and it can be one of the most dynamic times of our lives. And as I began to look at Jesus, you know, Jesus prayed a lot. In fact, all the Jewish people learned how to pray at a very, very young age. They knew how to pray. They memorized these prayers that we even have talked about. But the Bible says this in Luke chapter 11, verse 1. It says, "One day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray.'" Now, here's my theory. These Jewish disciples already knew how to pray, right? I don't think they were saying, "Jesus, we don't know how to pray, you know, teach us how to pray." I think they were saying, "Jesus, we don't know how to pray like you. We don't know how to do that we just saw you doing. We pray, but it doesn't look like that." And so Jesus, we want to learn how to pray like you because we've been doing this stuff and there's no enjoyment in how we're doing it. And I really believe they watched him and saw something in his prayer life that made them say, "We want to pray like you." And Jesus' response was the Lord's Prayer, or, you know, some people call it the disciples' prayer, and it's found in Matthew and Luke. Luke there in 11, but we're going to look at Matthew chapter 6. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 6 and be ready when we get to read that passage. And Jesus' response, again, was the Lord's Prayer. And Jesus said, "I can teach you how to pray." And then he said, "After this manner, pray this." In other words, in this way, pray this. And I believe the Lord's Prayer was never intended by Jesus to just be prayed just as it is. But here we are 2,000 years later, and in Jesus' response to help the disciples find meaning in their prayer life, he gave us this outline for prayer that we've turned into a prayer of just vain repetition, right? I mean, that we pray in locker rooms and at funerals and other places. And he gives us really seven topics in this prayer to help us pray. And again, he never intended it to be just a prayer we repeated. I mean, it's okay if you pray it. I'm just saying there's so much more. It's so much more than that. It's an outline for prayer. And this morning, I just want to walk through the seven elements of this Lord's Prayer. I mean, it's just a classic outline from Matthew chapter 6. 9 through 13. And so if you have that in your Bibles there, whatever you're using, let's read that together. Let's do this. Let's stand as we read God's Word this morning, all right? Can you do that? Let's stand together. And let me take it one more step. Let's read this out loud with one another, okay? This is then how you should pray. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom. Pray with me, please. Father, speak to us through this prayer, Father. Help us to know better how to pray like Jesus this morning. God, may we be impacted by your words, be changed, be different. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. So the disciples went to Jesus because he had this connection with God that really had an effect on reality. And so they said, Jesus, teach us how to pray so that we can have the kind of engagement that you have with God himself. So Jesus kind of takes us into this story that you and I need to embrace and become a part of it, right? If we want to really know how to pray like Jesus. I really believe prayer is just this act of giving and receiving. And Jesus says there are seven things that we can give to God in our prayer. And he starts it off with, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And I write it this way, I give God my love. I just give him my love. You see, it begins with our Father. Jesus is saying for us to pray in a certain way that really actually matters, prayer has to begin with a relationship at the core. It can't be rituals or routine or doctrine or belief. It has to be about relationship, a connection with God relationally. And so it's important to start by calling him something that is endearing and not like he's just going to pound you, right? Jesus is saying, if you really want to know my secret, know that God loves you like a daddy. That he wants to be in a relationship with you, not just as your God or your Lord, but as your Father. Call him Dad, Jesus says. He likes it. Call him Father. It was Jesus' favorite title for God. Father, Abba, Papa. And I understand, I get it. That can be a hurdle for so many of us who had fathers that you really didn't like very much, right? So you can't relate to calling him Father, so you call him Master or Lord or King. But Jesus said, if you really want prayer to work, it begins with your view of God. And if I said, let's just do this. Let me just say this. Close your eyes and think of God. Just imagine him there. And if I would ask you, what do you see? You can open your eyes. What do you see? And whatever you see, or whatever you saw there in your mind's eye, determines your relationship with him. And if you saw him with his arms open wide, ready, just ready to embrace you, you would have a God you enjoy spending time with. But if you saw him as a faceless God with a club, that's what your relationship is going to look like. And I'm sure you, my God as a kid was, this Wizard of Oz, God's cosmic killjoy, police kind of God, waiting for me to mess up, right? Nothing really positive. I'm sure you, even the little children's, song that says, oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do for the Father above. In my mind, I thought it would be better to say, we'll squish you like a bug. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. Right? And that's not what it says at all. It's that your Father above is looking down in love. Right? If you have this view of this kind of police God, your relationship with him is going to really stink. And I think Jesus was saying, listen, guys, you know why I'm enjoying myself over here? It's because I call him Papa. Romans 8:15 says, for you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. And so now every morning for the last several years, I start my prayer time with God like He really wants to be with me. And I really want to be with Him. And you know, and so the first thing I say is, good morning, God. Good morning, Father. It's good to be with you. I'm so glad that I get to spend time together with you. You are my Father, my Abba Father, and I love you. Thanks for loving me. I mean, just think about your relationship and how it would change if you started with the right view of God. And in that passage there, in that phrase, it says, hallowed be your name. So he's also talking about praise. You start by praising him. I mean, that's how you should begin your prayers. And you say, well, you know, what is praise? Well, praise is just thanking God for who he is and what he's done. To praise God means to prize God, to value him, to esteem him. It means to brag on God. Praise means bragging on God. The students over on Wednesday night in their worship time, they just have a time where they stop and they just have a brag break. And they just brag on what God has been doing in their lives. They praise him. As we talk to him, it begins with praise. And I love how it says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. The secret is in his name. That we need to go after his name, run to his name. Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. I love it in the Message paraphrase. It says, God's name is a place of protection. Good people can run there and be safe. So you just think about his name, because his name are the benefits he has for you and me. So we just worship in the names of God. And who is God to you, right? That's, you just begin to worship him. Share with me, who God is to you. What's a name that you would put to your God? Just share that out loud. Jehovah. Yeah, Poppy. Others. El Shaddai. Yeah, I think about, forgiver. Comforter. So I'm going to talk about this a little bit next week, but I just run to his name and I just begin to pray his name, right? And the students did a study over the names of God over the summer. And so I just, Jehovah Jireh, he's my provider. Jehovah Rapha, he's my, he's my healer. Jehovah Ra, he's my shepherd. Jehovah Nissi, he's the banner of victory that I wave over my life, my future. Jehovah Tsidkenu, he's my righteousness. Jehovah Mikadesh Hakim, he's my sanctifier. He sets me apart. Jehovah Shammah, he is here. He is present. He's a present God. And I just run to his name. You begin with praise. I just give my love to God. The next phrase says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I write it this way, I just give him my life. The second part of prayer, I think, is to commit myself to God's will. I give him my life. Notice it says, your will. Your will, God. God has a will for your life, a specific will for your life. And I think success is knowing the will of God and getting right in the center of it. Part of prayer is saying, God, what is your will for me today? I want to know your will. I want to do your will. And I think the problem is God's will is not always just done, right? That's why we're to pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why? Because in heaven, God's will is done perfectly. But on earth, it's not done perfectly. And so we're saying, God, what's happening in heaven? I want you to do it in my life. Right now, put heaven in me. And so I give God my love, and then I give him my life. I say, I want to submit to you. I want to be involved in your will. I want to do what you want me to do, God. To surrender all of me to all of you. God, share your agenda before I kind of throw my agenda at you. And God, I think, just says, stay there. Just stay in that space until 100, you are 100% surrendered to me. I think so often we say, my kingdom come, my will be done on earth. Who gives a rip about heaven, right? Give me this day everything I want, everything I can consume, everything I pursue, everything I can stick into my bank account, and lead me not into temptation, because God, I can find it pretty easy all by myself. No, he says, go into your room, close the door, and say, not my will, but thy will be done. Surrender my life to you, O God. My money, my kids, my future, my marriage. I want your will more than I want my will for me. God has a specific will. Romans 12 says that his will is good and it's perfect and it fits me, it fits you. So there are really two or three attitudes you can use to phrase this. You can say with an attitude like this, your will be done, and you can say it in resentment, right? You know, thy will be done, but I don't like it. So you can say it that way, with that kind of attitude. Or you can say, thy will be done, kind of with a resignation. Thy will be done because I can't help it. Or you can say in anticipation, thy will be done because, God, I know it's the best. And that's what I want for my life today. I give you my love. I give you my life. I want your will for my life, God. And then the next phrase says, give us this day our daily bread. And I kind of write it this way, I give God my worries. You know, bread represents the necessities of life, your physical needs, your material needs. And God wants you to pray instead of worry, right? Philippians 4 says, worry about nothing, pray about everything. And actually, this is a little plug in the middle of a sermon. Next week, I'm starting a new series, and we're going to be talking about anxiety and stress and discouragement and depression and how God wants us to cast all that on Him because He cares for us. So don't miss next Sunday as we kick that off. Listen, when you pray for things, then you don't have to worry about them. He's promised to provide all of our needs. Philippians 4:19 says, and my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. It's an interesting phrase because it says daily bread. And that word daily in the Greek is the word epousios. Epousios. And it's really the only time this word is used in all of Greek literature. It is right here. It's only used once in the Bible, and it's not found in any other Greek document in history. And many Bible scholars thought Matthew made the word up until in 1945, when they discovered the Dead Sea Scrolls, they found a little fragment of paper at the side of the cave, in the cave. And it was a shopping list, a several thousand-year-old shopping list. And that word was on the shopping list. Epousios. And it was a category of things to buy at the market which represented perishables. They didn't have refrigeration in those days, so some things you had to buy every day. And he's saying, give me today what I need for today so I don't have to worry about it. And so what do you need today, right? Energy to make it through the day, finances, wisdom. God, give me today my daily bread. You remember the Israelites when they were wandering in the wilderness, and you remember the manna that God provided for them, that gave them, right? You remember that it didn't spoil, that it spoiled if you tried to keep it longer than a day. God wanted them to trust Him. Moment by moment by moment. God, I've got this meeting ready to go, but I need your presence. God, when I send this email, when I talk on the phone, when I go to work, when I'm at school, God, I need your presence. I need you for everything. You're my source for everything. God, give me this day my daily bread. I just give God my worries. This couple weeks ago, we got to go out to Salt Lake City, Utah, and we were visiting one of the national parks, the Arches, and I mean, it's just so beautiful. You just, you know, you're kind of driving along there, going up in the mountains, and all of a sudden, poof, these just huge red rocks become, they just explode out of God's earth, right? It's just amazing, and you know, you're just kind of looking around and wonder at God's creation. So we stayed there for sunset to see it kind of, the sun go behind these great, you know, walls of rock and these arches, and then the night fell, and you know, my oldest son wanted to stay there because he wanted to see the stars. It's a dark zone, right? And so we just stayed there, and we looked up at the stars, and it was like, I mean, you could see every star. You could see, I didn't quite understand this, but you could see the, you know, the wave of the Milky Way, kind of the band of the Milky Way going across the horizon, the universe. And it was just kind of great. We were sitting there, all of us looking up and going, you know, and even my little grandchildren like, wow, wow. And I'm looking at them going, wow, right? It's this God that loves me so much that He created all this for me. And it gave me confidence to turn over to Him just the worries of my life. Psalms 121 says, I lift my eyes up to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Listen, nothing is too great for God's power. Nothing is too insignificant for His care. You can talk to Him about anything. God says, here's how you pray. First, you just praise me, right? I give Him my love. Second, it's all about purpose. I give Him my life. And then He says provision, and I give Him my worries, my needs, my anxieties. And the next phrase, He says, forgive us of our debts. And I write it this way, I give God my guilt. That's the next category of prayer. You know, all of us, I think, have regrets. All of us have made mistakes. All of us fall short, right? I don't come up to even my own standard, right? Much less God's standard. And it's not very hard for each one of us to admit that we're not perfect. You want to, God, you're so wanting to do greater things in and through you. And so the number one thing you can do is you go to God and you ask Him to forgive you. And go even further by saying, God, I think I've repented of all my sins, but just in case I miss something. And we can recite Psalms 139, right? 23 and 24. God, search my heart. Know if there's any anxious thoughts there. Test me and look and see if there's any offensive ways in my life. And lead me in the way everlasting. God, just put your finger on those places in my life and lead me out of it. You know why I say that? It's because I really think the world in which we live right now has become so much more evil than just 5 years ago, right? And we become, I think if we're not careful, we become so desensitized to it. It's not alarming to us anymore. And that's a dangerous place to be because if we find ourselves in it, we're not sensitive to it. And there ought to be a time every day that we say, God, keep me sensitive to sin and forgive me. God, just put a finger on that place in my life that I need to change. And I'll be honest, He does it to me almost every day. There's that attitude, right? There's that area in my life. And so let me just share with you today, there is no reason in the world that you should leave this place this morning and have guilt. None at all. God has made a provision for that. And it's called confession. Right? You confess it. That's how you get rid of the guilt. God says in 1 John 1, 9, that if you confess your sins, that He is faithful to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So you can't repress it. You can't suppress it. You confess it. And that's how you get rid of guilt. I will cleanse you totally and completely and freely, continuously. He says one of the benefits of prayers is that I get to unload my guilt. There's no reason a Christian should carry guilt in his life day after day. None at all. If you are, you're not taking advantage of what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. And so I give him my guilt. My God wants to forgive me. He wants to forgive you. He says that over and over. And then he says, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors, those who have trespassed against us, right? And I write it this way. I just give God my hurts. You know, he takes it further. Don't just ask for forgiveness, but actively forgive others. And it's so important to forgive others. And sometimes they don't deserve it, right? But I didn't either. God forgave me. So in response, we forgive others. And not just actively every day for those who have hurt me, but also in advance for those that will hurt me, because it's going to happen, right? What would happen in our family, in our community, in our world, if every day we ask God to point out some areas in our life that we need forgiven, but also to, in advance, forgive those that will hurt us? God, instead of hating them, I'm going to love them. Listen, if we do that, we'll be happier and have a fresh start. And God will be able to do greater things in and through us. Because listen, in your life, you will be hurt. Sometimes intentionally, sometimes unintentionally, right? But the deal is how you handle that hurt determines your happiness. When you bottle it up in your life and you hold on to it, you know, it begins to build bitterness and eventually resentment in your heart. You know, somebody hurt you years ago and you're kind of holding on to it. That's called resentment. And it will poison your life. And for your own happiness, you must learn to forgive. Matthew 6:14 says, "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." He's saying, if I don't forgive other people, I'm burning the bridge that I've got to cross myself to get to heaven, right? The Bible says forgive and be forgiven. I'm an image person, so I always picture me driving my big yellow school bus of life, right? And I've got those people on my bus that have hurt me, you know, have said something to me, and I'm able to look up there in my bus window and say, "Sit down back there, right? What are you doing?" And I'm telling you, it will eat you up. And so I just imagine I got to pull that bus over to the bus stop of forgiveness and begin to ask God to help me to let them off, place, you know, their hand into His hand and forgive them. Because if you think about it, some of you even have dead people on your bus, right? They're not even alive anymore. And you're still... And I want to tell you, you got dead people on the bus, your bus of life, it begins to stink, right? You begin to take on that odor. And so you have to come to that place where you just pull it over. You say, "God, I can't do this in my own strength. I'm going to place that person's hand in your hand, God. And forgive them. Forgive them. Forgive and be forgiven. They are interrelated. So for your own sake, let go of the past. If somebody hurt you, let go of it. Release them. That's one of the values of prayer. It helps you unload your bus. Forgiveness is the only way to get rid of the past. Forgive them and let it go. Get on with your life. Let go of our hurts. So I give God my love. I give God my life. I give Him my worries. I give Him my guilt. I give Him my hurts. That's what prayer is all about. That's what prayer is all about. I mean, it's so practical. And then he says this, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." And I write it this way, I give God my fears and my temptation. The actual translation is, do not allow us to be led into temptation. In other words, when temptation comes my way, God, give me the power to overcome it, to say no, to get to a place where every day you take your stand against the enemy, against the temptations he's bringing into your life, into your relationships. Ephesians 6:10 tells us, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. And so you got to get up every morning and just put on the full armor of God and take your stand against your fears and your temptations. Right, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the feet, you know, the shoes of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You take your stand. And in verse 18, we get right back to that theme verse. And he says, and pray. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. And so our prayers can sometimes be just our devotional prayers, right? God, help me with this, do this. But sometimes there are times in our life when our prayer, when we need to have confrontational prayers, right? This is what I mean by that, right? Just begin to pray in the name of Jesus with the power and authority of the Word of God through the victory of the cross and the blood of Jesus, right? Devil, I take my stand against you and every attack against my family. I take my stand against you in Jesus' name. Confrontational prayers. And you say, Monty, you know, do we really need to get that crazy about our prayer life, right? You know? And I say, absolutely. Let's get passionate about prayer. Let's get feisty, right? I mean, listen to God's Word. In James 5:16, it says, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. And then it says this, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much. That word, fervent, is a word we don't use. I can't even say it. It means red, hot, boiling over prayers. Extremely passionate with some gumption. You want to avail much? Sometimes we need to confront the enemy. And here's, and so let's come to him in the power of prayer. And then I love how he ends it. He says this, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And everybody said, amen. Amen. It's like he's saying to us, put a big old exclamation, a bad exclamation point on the end of this thing. Right? And I write it this way. I give my trust to God. I give God my trust. I have faith in God's ability. 1 John 5 says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we will have what we ask of Him. He's saying, be confident. Have faith in a God who will do what He has said and promised He will do. Have faith in God's ability to do even greater things than you could ever imagine. So I give Him my love. In a moment, we're going to have a time of response. And maybe you'll have the opportunity, you will have the opportunity to come. And maybe for you, you just need to give Him your love. And as we sing this last song of worship, you just need to praise Him and give Him your love. But some of you need to give Him your life, right? You need to make a step of faith and come and surrender everything to Him. To confess with your mouth to somebody else that you want Him to be your Lord and to be your Savior, to be your forgiver, to come into a personal forever relationship with Him. You need to give Him everything, to surrender your whole life to Him. That's the response some of you need to make this morning. He says, come and give your worries. And so some of you have some worries, some anxieties, some stuff going on in your life and your relationships. And you just need to come to this altar and give that to Him. Give that to Him. Some of you have guilt. Come and seek His forgiveness. Some of you have hurt. You need to come this morning and ask God to give you the courage to forgive others. To forgive others. Some of you here this morning, you have fear of living out this faith or fear of the temptations that are coming at you that you're giving into. And you just need to come and confess. Ask God to give you the strength to overcome the temptations, the sin habits that you're struggling with. Some of you just need to come and say, God, I'm going to trust you with everything. I'm going to believe that you are my sovereign God. Jeremiah 32:17 says, All sovereign God, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. It's this life of prayer where you come before Him and cry out to Him, knowing that nothing's too hard for Him. And you give Him your love. You give Him your life. You give Him your worries. You give Him your hurt. You give Him your guilt. You give Him your fear and your temptations. You begin to trust Him with everything that you have, because you know He is a God that is there for you, that will never leave you or forsake you. So let's come to Him this morning, and let's give our lives to Him. Pray with me, please. Father, as we come to this time of decision, this time of response, Father, to your word's movement in our hearts, to your Spirit's using the word of God, to your word to move us to decision and to change, oh God. Give us the courage this morning to come in whatever area of our lives that we need to give to you, God, to have the courage to do that right here, right now. Knowing that, Father, you have this plan for us, this purpose for us. You want to be in relationship with us in a way that goes beyond our behavior, Father. It's a relationship that says, hey, I will never leave you or forsake you. It's a relationship, God, that you want to grow us up so that we can begin to use the way that you have shaped us to make a difference for you, God. So, God, may we come this morning and surrender all to you and to give you our whole heart. Father, Abba, Papi, we come. Do your work in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.